again, and welcome to Crime Kooks with your hosts Emily and
Rachel. Lizzie Borden is pretty unknown, but maybe you've heard of the famous chant that we are about to grace your ears with.
Lizzie Borden took an axe, she gave her mother 40 whacks, and when she saw what she had done, she gave her father 41.
Thank you for that, Steven.
Yes, thank you, Steven.
Thank you.
Special guest who will only be here for that. Yes. But thank you.
Emily wasn't happy
having her brother with us last time.
No. He sits so far away, you can barely hear him, but I think if you guys could hear that,
it's fine.
Yeah, sounds pretty awesome. All right, but enough about my brother, because nobody wants to talk about him. Lizzie Borden. All right, this girl. She was born on July 19th, 1860, in Fall River, Massachusetts.
Yes. Really pretty name.
It would be kind of cool to go there.
It would. I kind of want to see it. I thought she was born in Missouri.
Sounds like a postcard.
I feel like that was something I was told. It was wrong, but I thought she was.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That would be cool. Something interesting in Missouri for once. But yeah, she was the youngest of three children of Andrew Borden and Sarah Anthony. Yeah, I almost mixed that up. I thought, water bottle cracked. But I thought that Sarah Anthony was like the, because he remarried at some point. I thought that was the stepwife. What? Stepwife? It's fine. But yeah, that's the original wife. Her oldest sister was Emma, and the middle child was a girl who actually died as an infant. I couldn't.
Which is pretty sad.
No.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is, though.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. Okay, but.
Well, she does have a heart. Aw.
Okay.
In 1865, Andrew Borden remarried to that girl Emily was just talking about.
No,
named
that was
Abby Gray.
The girl I was talking about was his original wife, who I thought was the one he married.
Yes, I know. And you were discussing the fact that he remarried a woman.
Oh, okay. I'm smart.
Yes. But anyways, she lived a quiet life attending the Morgan Street School and then the local high school. Hey, just like us. Who would have thought?
That's crazy. Maybe I'll just go out and murder my parents now.
I know. She's so similar to us.
Yeah.
Only we're not going to do that.
Okay.
After graduation, she was really involved in the church and served as the secretary of the local Christian Endeavor Society.
Wow, how pretentious. A Christian society. I'm sorry. I'm probably offending like a million
people. Aren't you
a
Christian?
Barely. You know, let's not talk about religion here. We're not here to get all Jesus.
Yeah, don't come at Christian families, man.
Lizzie was described to be mentally disturbed by many accounts. Mm.
Yeah, but she was also a woman.
Wait a minute, what? She was also
a woman. I
say that
because back in the day, if you were a woman and you had opinions, they were like, mm-mm, no.
That's true. And now I'm just reviewing what I just said in my head. I'm not here to offend any Christians here, all right? So don't kill me, please. I'm sorry. But yeah, the reason she was said to be crazy was because she was a kleptomaniac. You know, people who steal things because
a kleptomaniac.
You know what? I always mix it up. I think it's a kleptomaniac, but that's not a word.
Mm-hmm.
It's someone who like steals by compulsion. They just see
yeah,
something. Like,
they
hey.
Just feel like they have to steal.
You know, hey, I want that. Give me it.
Which is sad. Sad life. I don't think being a kleptomaniac would make you want to murder someone. I'm not gonna lie. I mean, stealing their life is like...
Yeah, I mean, it's a compulsion to steal lives.
The compulsion to steal lives.
Yes.
Yes.
So, but yeah, we don't really... Her early life was very quiet. Not anything. You wouldn't think she'd be a murderer. Like, she seemed like a sweet girl. She was... Other than, like, the whole kleptomaniac thing, she seemed...
And because she was so religious, I mean, you know...
I mean, I don't...
You're not supposed to murder people.
Cults. Cults are very religious, I'm just saying.
Yeah, but not all cults are bad. I mean, there's the few, like the suicide cults, but...
Yeah. But at the time of Andrew Borden's death, he actually had a net worth of roughly $300,000, which is actually today, or actually in 2019, $8.5 million. So he was loaded, to say the least.
Yeah, but like the taxes today would probably take a lot of that, wouldn't it?
Still,
is that how that works?
I'm not sure, but he, point is, he was rich.
He was loaded.
But apparently, this could be a motive for murder, for all I know. But, you know, despite his wealth, you know, they lived apparently in a pretty crappy house. Like, people theorize that this was mostly because Andrew gave his wife's half-sister a house in 1884. So apparently he's just giving out free houses, you know, free real estate.
So. I don't know. This sounds like a, that sounds like an, why would you give someone else a house and not yourself?
I mean, they do have a house. It's just
house. In the sense of like family members.
I don't know.
Like why, whenever you need a house and it's like, well, I mean, I'll get this rundown one for me and the my family. And then I'll get like, I'll spend my $8 million on my wife's half sister's house. Like, yes, that makes sense.
I mean, he did have a daughter who was crazy, so maybe he might have been a little crazy.
Was she crazy though?
I don't know. You know, there's nothing like actually that we can know for sure about this case, which is what's so annoying. It's a lot like the Zodiac Killer. There's only a few concrete facts.
Mm-hmm.
But what we do know is that whatever the reason he did this, it caused tension between all of the daughters and him.
Mm-hmm.
Between the father and stepmother.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean, not to say that they didn't have a lot of money, because Lizzie had $2,500 in a bank, which translate roughly to $70,000 today. And as a small weekly income, so it's pretty small, yeah. That's not a lot of money at all a week. Yeah, but it does kind of give her a motive for murder, because she seemed, I don't know, I feel like if you got a weekly allowance of that much, you'd probably be kind of a spoiled brat type. So maybe she wanted more money and she snapped.
Well, I don't know, because, you know, I mean, could you be spoiled back in the day? Was that like a thing?
I mean, they had a lot of money, basically, regardless of what timeline you look at. So maybe she, I don't know, I feel like she could have been. It's just a theory.
Yeah, but like they lived in the house they lived in, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I see your point. Still, I'm sticking by my theory because I'm always right.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, in early August of 1892, skipping a few years here, after Lizzie had returned from a trip to visit some friends with her sister, Emma, who stayed with the friends at the time,
mm-hmm.
Andrew and Abby experienced severe vomiting, and Abby suspected it was due to poisoning.
Ooh.
So maybe a possible attempt. We don't know. You know, poisoning the tea. You know, you never know.
Well, I don't know. Because it takes time to get. Okay, I'm going to rephrase this. I'm pretty sure it takes time to get poisoned.
No, I think you're right the first time. I feel like you'd know these kind of things.
And I mean, it depends on what it is. Because like rat poison, you can get literally like just at the store.
But the thing is, it could have been, like, maybe not necessarily rat poison, but back at this time, there weren't as much regulation, so she could have had access to stuff like that.
There weren't, but at the same time, back then, if you're trying to kill someone, you absolutely can through poison because of that reason, and the fact that they didn't have the medicines to deal with it like they do today.
The question is, why didn't they die?
Exactly, so it probably wasn't poison. They might have just had the stomach flu or something.
True.
Food poisoning, like the actual food, you know?
That's fair. But apparently a couple days later, actually, on August 4th, so not too much long after, so this is what really makes me think that it might have been poisoning.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew and Abby Borden were found hacked to death in their home, and Abby was found in the guest room by the bed, and Andrew was found on the couch.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously they were chilling in their home. Someone came in with probably a hatchet or axe or something and just hacked them to death. So
why in your own home would you be in the guest bedroom? Was someone staying there?
I think she was cleaning it. See, I think she was like kind of doing some light cleaning, maybe. But I thought the only question is there. They because I think they had a maid. So I don't know if she was cleaning or if she's just in there to check them to make sure the maid, because the maid was actually in the house too at the time.
Yeah, because I heard they have the maid in the house, and the maid says she didn't hear anything.
And she was like in the other
Lizzie
room.
And Lizzie claimed to be in like outside.
In the barn.
Yeah, in the barn. And she was like, well, it wasn't me. And if, I mean, the maid should have heard something.
It seems like some conspiring is going on here, in my opinion. I think that the maid might have done something. But, so.
Maybe the maid was in on it. She might not have done it.
True. The reconstruction of the crime was found that at 9:30 a.m., Abby was hacked to death with an axe while in the guest bedroom doing whatever she was doing. And roughly an hour later, Andrew actually arrived home and went to take a nap on the couch. And at 10:45, he was also killed. So apparently his wife was already dead when he arrived home. They died at different times.
Okay. But like, I mean, yeah, they died at different times. They were in different rooms.
They could. Okay. That's the whole thing. Well, there's multiple murderers.
Yeah. But either way, what is the chance of them both hitting each other at the same time?
I didn't mean the exact same time, but the general time.
But, like, okay. What if he originally wasn't supposed to be murdered? It was just Abby.
But that's my only question. He came home anyway. I mean, the murderer had plenty of time to get out. And then the guy would have come home and found his dead wife. Either way, no matter when he came home, he would have found it.
Well, not if you go to clean it up and you're like,
oh, crap, he's home. Oh, God.
Yeah, like if he was supposed to get home later and you're like, well.
It just feels intentional, though, because like he was struck 41 times. That feels pretty personal, pretty intentional.
Yeah, but also back in the day, you know, before guillotines were a thing and they just had a man, you know, chop people's heads off.
Guillotines? I'm sorry. So you said it weird, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. But when they just had the man chop their head off, if you liked the person, you paid him to sharpen the knife so that way it would come off the first try. Yeah. But plenty of people, they had to just whack them a second time and they lived through it.
Hold on.
And I mean like an itty bitty hatchet.
No, I was just thinking, they're like, oh crap, is he dead yet? I've hit him like 30 times. Wait, did his finger just move? And they keep hitting him.
Kind of like that thing wherever you kill a fly and then it twitches afterwards and you're like,
is it really
nasty?
just gotta make sure.
And then you have to hit it multiple times afterwards.
That's fair. Overkill, but it's fair.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, okay, this maid, she was upstairs taking a nap apparently, which is such a lie. There's no way you could sleep through the blood curdling screams. But apparently she was called down by Lizzie to call a doctor for her father, because Lizzie, you know, she waddled in from the barn, found her father on the couch, was like, oh wow, how'd he get there?
Right.
And after the doctor arrived, Abby's body was found, because apparently they just didn't notice Abby was missing or anything.
They might have thought it was Abby and she ran off. And so they were like, you know, we won't worry about it yet. And then they were wandering the house looking for clues as to where she might have gone. And then they were like, oh, found her.
Oh, found her. Oh, yeah, she did.
Yeah, that had to be an awkward time. And what if they did think it was her, though? And they're like, we got to send, like, search parties and this out. And they left to go do that. And then they're like, hey.
No, but I don't think they did have a police system, because there was a whole trial and everything. But he was found when the doctor came. So apparently the doctor was one there and found her. I don't know how the doctor found her, but I guess they you're probably right about the whole searching thing. They're probably looking for her. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, yeah, we're gonna need another doctor.
Maybe they keep their first aid kit or something inside the bedroom, the guest bedroom, or like a Bible, because they were religious.
Let's just tape a little band-aid on these multiple wounds. He should be okay.
And they were gonna pray over the body that he gets to heaven.
Yes, because that's a completely appropriate thing to do. Don't get on me about the timeline. I understand. I know. But still. Anyways, Abby's body is found. Mm-hmm. So we're gonna keep doing this with every point. Just go down a rabbit hole and then come back and just with a random statement. Yes. Abby's body was found.
I'm sorry.
Lizzie claimed that she was in the barn at the time of the deaths. There's no witness corroborations for this, and even then, I'm still not entirely in belief of that.
You know, and maybe, okay. This is going to get a little bit sidetracked, but I have a point. You know how in, it's going to sound bad, Legally Blonde, the girl who is being accused can't tell them her alibi because it would ruin more of her life than just going to jail?
I have never seen Legally Blonde, but
okay, well, that happens. So, like, what if Lizzie's, like, out seeing, you know, a guy? But, like, you know, back then, seeing a guy is, like...
A guy is, like,
you know...
Very unchristian.
Burner at the stake.
Yes, very... You know? That's a very witch move there, you know? Very unchristian, ladylike. Mm-hmm. Gotta burn her.
Well, I thought it was hanging, but... It is hanging.
Either way, it's still killing the person.
It is.
I can see kind of that, but I don't know if they were over that yet. It was in the late 1800s. This is actually way closer than I thought. See, I thought this was back in, like, the 1600s originally, but apparently this is in the late 1800s. Mm-hmm. So, not to say that they didn't do hangings, but I just thought it was really weird.
Mm-hmm.
But, anyways, back to the time. Lizzie, you know, capping about her whereabouts. So we're going back to there. Okay. So basically after their deaths, we know they're dead. The doctor was like, okay, these guys are dead. There's nothing we can do. Apparently Andrew didn't make a will. He probably wasn't expecting to die so soon, but.
You're rich. What do you expect?
I don't know. You know,
you're rich and it's easy to break into your house because you live in such a trash home. I'm sorry. What do you want me to say?
It's true. It's
he's
true.
Loaded. If he dies, where's that money going to go?
He's loaded and he has a trash home. Obviously, he didn't have much foresight. He wasn't very smart.
Yeah, he wasn't the brightest.
He wasn't a very smart guy.
He was not the brightest.
But this worked in Lizzie's favor, which is probably why, again, why people think she murdered him. His entire estate, like all the properties, all the money went to the daughters rather than his current wife's children. So instead it went to Emma and Lizzie.
Then who's to say it wasn't Emma?
That's a fair point, but, you know,
people just... There's such thing as assassins. Okay. There is. Hire a hitman.
Yeah, but again, this family isn't very smart, as we, you know, we've seen. They're not the brightest
people. The dad isn't.
I'm just saying... The point is, obviously, the cops weren't that smart either because they only arrested Lizzie. Emma was never even, I mean, she might have been considered a suspect, but I don't know if they cleared her.
I think they might have cleared her simply because they weren't like, oh, maybe she had a second party involved. And they were just like, nah, she wasn't here, so she gets a pass.
Oh, wait, you're right. She wasn't there. She was visiting the friends. I'm so scatterbrained, but yeah, she mm-hmm. did. She was out with the friends. Remember, they went to visit their friends before it happened, so Emma stayed there and then she came back. That's why she was cleared.
But like, if Emma has a good alibi, that listen,
you're just so dead set on convicting Emma for this.
No, I don't care. I'm just saying, if she's smart, that's a good alibi. Hire someone, go out. I mean, your sister looks really sus now.
Just pin it on the sister.
What? I mean, it's half so the smart. People didn't no, care smart. About their family back then anyways.
It's fair. But yeah, Lizzie was arrested, and mm-hmm. Emma got off scot-free. Now I'm thinking she's the murderer. I'm throwing out any names here. Who knows? Maybe the father killed himself, because that makes complete sense. But yeah, the trial. Now we're on to the trial. This is where the mood really starts to set. Lizzie, forgetting her name already, she's arrested, and her trial, because they were like, yeah, she definitely did it, began on June 3rd, 1893, and was widely broadcasted because, I don't know, maybe not a lot of murders went on, but point is, it was a big deal.
This is in 1893? That is not that long ago. Dang.
That's what I was saying. It's like so long, it's not like that long ago.
That's only like 120 years.
It's a little scary.
Right.
Yeah, well, that's kind of why, like, I remember reading about this and, like, thinking, widely broadcasted? Wait, when was this? And seeing the date and just being completely baffled. Because, like, it seemed, like, so long ago. But, yeah, Lizzie, so here's why. Okay, family very smart. She chose, well, okay, maybe. She chose not to testify in the trial. So I'll just get right to the point. Standing behind her barn alibi, which is half smart, because like you're standing by what you're saying and you're not putting yourself up to like the chance of getting like cross-examined by the other lawyer and like, you know, messing up. But
yeah, or like saying something out of turn that's like, oh, well, if you were in the barn doing this at that time, then, but a few minutes ago, you said you were in the barn doing this at that time.
Yeah, so she may not have wanted to be tripped up. But
yeah. It's smart if you think that you're if oh yeah, it's smart if you think that you'd be easy to trick.
Yeah. The evidence of the prosecution. So these guys, they're really trying to get Lizzie, but their evidence included the fact that a week after the murders, yes, a friend testified that a dress Lizzie was wearing had paint on it, red paint.
So, yeah, but like a common paint. Hobby back then was paint.
No, quotation mark paint.
Quotation mark paint. Yes, I understand. But if she said the word paint and not blood.
Yeah.
Paint and blood look very different, especially because she said, a dress had paint on it. It depends on what time she saw it, because I've seen dried blood and it does not dry red.
Yeah, but I just think that this was back in the 1800s. Maybe she didn't know. Part of me wants to believe it's Lizzie just so I can say that there's someone who did it. Because I really want to know who did it, but there's no way I can know. So I'm just pitting on Lizzie here. But okay, to corroborate my claim. Reports also say, tying this back to the whole poisoning thing, you know, with the tea. I don't know if it was a tea, but it makes sense. She attempted to buy poison before the murders occurred. So she went to the shop and tried to buy this, like, poison. And the shopkeeper's like, you can't buy that, man. That's, like, not cool. I'm not going to sell you that.
Mm-hmm.
And
first of all, why is there a place that you can just buy poison?
I don't know if it was exactly like poison. I think, I don't know what the substance was. Okay, I'm just blanking on the name right now, but it's something you can typically buy. But like if you bought in large amounts, it would be like, what are you going to do with this?
Who's stupid enough to go out and try and buy it in large amounts? You got to do it over time.
Unless it seriously was poison. I don't know. Because I feel like I know I read a book on this in like eighth grade. I don't know. All I know is that he wouldn't sell her it, so she couldn't get it. But that just made me think that maybe she tried to get it somewhere else and she did try to poison them.
See, but at the same time, what if she was doing it for a peaceful end for herself?
Wait, what?
Yeah, she had discourse with her family, because it was tense between her father and all of them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that can be stressful, and she's already, how old was she at that time?
Okay, time to do some math. She would have been like 30 something.
Yeah, and she wasn't married.
Saying that like it's a diss. She ain't married at 13. What a loser.
No, like back then, not being married at 36 was like, you know, not good.
What you doing with your life, girl? Yeah, I can kind of see that. I just don't think it makes sense because she never actually, if she did buy it to kill herself, then she obviously didn't use it because she's still alive, unless it didn't work.
Exactly.
But, okay.
Or her family was like, oh, what's this? Is this sugar?
Is this sugar?
Is this sugar for my tea? And then they drink it and they're like,
totally
oh.
Did.
And then they puke them. And they're like, oh my God, someone tried to kill me. And she's like, no, I tried to kill myself.
Nice onomatopoeia. I love that word. But, yeah, there's just... This case annoys me. We need to do it next time. I really hope the next case has someone. I don't think it does, but I need to do one where we know who the murderer is, because this is starting to really annoy me, because
you're the one who's been picking
you
which
know,
case we do
stop.
Next.
No. I'm gonna pick one that could be solved next time. Because the murder weapon was never officially identified for the killings. And you know, we're just running with a general theme here. We're going to go down a rabbit hole, and then I'm going to throw out a statement. And here it is. Murder weapon not officially found. So
All we know is it's like a hatchet or like an axe or something. They never found it, so they don't know what happened to it. They chucked it somewhere. I don't know.
See, but how can you... Okay. What if they, like... I don't think they would have buried it, because I think they were smart enough back then to be like, what's this? You know, in the backyard. And then to dig it up. But, like, what if... That's why the assassin thing stands, because an assassin's smart and supposed to be good at their job. So they wouldn't just bury it in the backyard.
I don't know, because I don't think they, again, the police didn't really do a super thorough investigation. There's like not, I mean, maybe they did. There's not a whole lot detailing that. So either it was lost or, point is, I mean, they obviously didn't find a murder weapon. So she couldn't entirely be linked to the weapon or anything. They didn't even know what the weapon was at this point. They had a general idea. And since there was no direct evidence linking Lizzie to the murders, she was acquitted on June 20th, 1893. Got away scot-free. Well, kind of. Her social reputation was decimated, but, you know.
Yeah, why didn't she just move?
She can't move during trial.
After the trial.
Oh, she did.
She did?
Yeah. After being acquitted, Lizzie and her sister Emma actually moved into a bigger house in an elite part of town known as Maplecroft. That sounds like a pretentious name, but it sounds also like a really pretty area.
Mm-hmm.
She changed her name, not like entirely, she just went by Lizbeth.
Mm-hmm.
And she no longer did charity work and became less socially active, as I would assume most people would after, you know, being accused of murdering your entire family. But, you know.
Yeah, she might have just been at home, like, at... Were family altars a thing? Is that, like, a thing people do?
Family what now?
Altar? You know, like, a little small place to pray in your own home.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, they did say they were pretty,
Religious.
Religious, yes. So they probably did, I'd assume. I don't really know. There is actually, I don't know what the book is called, but I can maybe, if I remember it, maybe we can put in this description of this. It goes over, like, the entire case and outlines it and goes into some really good detail and even has a map of the house and everything. And it's really cool. You guys should totally read it. It's a good read.
Yeah. See, okay. I'm sorry. I'm still, did they not question the maid? The maid was just like, oh, I was asleep. And they were just like, oh, okay.
See, I don't think they did, because she was like, I was sleeping.
But why didn't they put her on trial?
I think she was actually a witness. She wasn't like a super big witness, but I think she was.
Not a witness.
Not a witness,
I mean,
but like.
Why didn't they put her on trial for the murder?
Because they thought Lizzie did it.
Yeah,
the
but
police
why wouldn't you think that she did it?
I don't know.
Listen, if you get mad at the people you work for, some people are just like, I'll kill them. And then they kill them.
You know, at this point, I know that there was a book about this, and it could do it so much more eloquently than I am. Like, I really wish that I could just remember what I read in the book, but I know that the book does go over a lot of stuff, and it could probably explain this a lot better than what I'm doing right now. I'm not doing this case justice whatsoever. So, just ask the book. We'll put it in the description, and you guys can read it, and you'll probably like it a lot better than this, but it's okay.
Just ask the book.
Yes. You know what? We're only telling you this at the end of the podcast, so you're forced to listen to it.
Of course.
Lizzie died at the age of 66, so not bad. She died from pneumonia in Fall River, Massachusetts, so she still stayed in the same area.
Which is why I said, why didn't she move?
Like, do you mean, like, to a whole another state? Because she moved
to
a different neighborhood. She just didn't move to another state.
Yeah, but, like, I assume it was a fairly small town back then.
I don't know. Maybe she just didn't want to move too far away. It was broadcasted all around the country, so no matter where she went, she's probably going to be bound to be recognized, so she figured she'd probably just stay home, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
But yeah, so she died at the age of roughly, let me do some calculations here. Oh, wait, never mind. I already said the age. I'm stupid. She died on June 1st, 1927. That's the point. I don't know why I wrote down the age, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But then her sister actually died a few days later, Emma, you know, her only sister. I don't know why I keep saying the name, but yeah, in her hometown of New Market, New Hampshire.
At least her only living sister.
It's true. That's true. Yeah, she did have another sister. We don't talk about her because we don't know anything about her because, yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, sir. We try to put most of our little sources in the
description
that thing. So you guys can check it out and make sure, so you can fact check us, make sure we're getting all our facts right.
Yes, because you know, copyright's kind of a thing.
Yeah, and I'm a little stupid sometimes. Sometimes I just don't know how to read.
Yeah. Emily's the one that gets the information for us now.
Yes.
I do the editing.
But anyways.
Anywho.
Yeah. Thanks so much for joining us on Crime Kooks, guys. You know, thanks so much for listening. Taking your time to be with us. Tune in next time to hear about the Black Dahlia. And again, I'm Emily. And
I'm Rachel.
Don't be stupid. Stay safe.